I believe that being actively involved with my team is just crucial for fostering a collaborative environment. I have an open door policy. I encourage everyone to share their ideas and feedback. I think that this transparency helps to build trust, which is a foundation of our team's success.
Hi, I'm Christine Shaw, CEO and President of Naylor Association Solutions, and I'm your host of the Association Advisor Podcast. We'll learn from successful association executives, partners, and clients on how to create a thriving, prosperous, and value-driven association. I invite you to join me in keeping informed and, most importantly, keeping your association profitable. Our goal is to leave you feeling inspired, more confident, and more knowledgeable. This is the Association Advisor Podcast. Hi, and welcome back to the Association Advisor Podcast, brought to you by Naylor Association Solutions. I'm your host, Christine Shaw. For today's episode, our guest is Shelley Frost, the Executive Director at the Association of Old Crows, a global organization with over 13,000 members across government, defense, industry, and academia. Shelley is a passionate leader with close to three decades of service in the nonprofit sector. The AOC has been around since 1964, which left Shelley with big shoes to fill when she stepped into her leadership role over 7 years ago. Today, we'll speak to Shelley about what it's like to lead an association with such a rich history. We'll also learn about her path to leadership, the pros of risk-taking, and how to build a collaborative work environment. I'm really excited to share this conversation with you, so let's get started. Welcome, Shelley. I am so delighted to have you on the Association Advisor Podcast.
No, it's great to be here. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So let's get right into it. I really would love to start by letting our listeners know a little bit more about you. Shelley, you've worked in the association space for over 25 years. Can you begin by sharing with us a bit about your background and how you got into this line of work?
Sure. Well, I fell into the association world when I was in my 20s, when I discovered that I could actually get paid for planning meetings and events. I was doing a lot of volunteer work during that time, and I quickly fell in love with the association world. I did try out meeting planning in the corporate world, but I immediately came back to associations as I quickly realized that it really was not the work that I was doing, but it was the members and the volunteers that I loved so much. Working for an association allows you to really contribute something meaningful. I thrive on juggling multiple balls in the air and working with the volunteers and team members that are also driven by the mission is just something that I really love. And I love actually at the annual convention, there's always an annual convention that every association has. Everyone on the team, volunteers, everybody's jumping in, everyone's pitching in to make the meeting a huge success. And it's just the community coming together that's just so amazing to be part of.
So thanks for sharing, Shelley. I want to talk about how you made it from your experience in the association space and your passion and how that led you into leadership and leadership in your current position. So tell us more about that.
Well, very early on at the beginning of my career, I learned that relationship building was sort of an unwritten rule of association management. And those relationships and building them with the members, building them with board members, building them with people in the community that were so vital to the success. Getting to know what kept my members up at night helped me early in my career, knowing how we needed to shape our meetings and events of the content. And yeah, just that relationship, I was, you know, fairly good at it. And so as I moved around in my career, I kept that relationship building as very forefront of what I did. And I think that the relationships kind of helped me. I became somebody who the board relied on. They knew that I got stuff done. So when the position came up for the executive director position, I threw my hat in the ring.
Let's not underlook such an important moment in your career, too, because you also happen to be the first female executive director of the Association of Old Crows, which has been around since 1964. And as we know, it focuses on electronic warfare, which is largely male dominated. So did you think about that as you were stepping into the role, or how did that play out for you?
You know, I didn't think about it. I think because I had such strong relationships with board members and volunteers, I really was an established member of the staff who they knew they could count on. I got things done. They could come to me and really depend on that I was going to get things done. So when the position opened, I threw my hat in the ring, and I knew that I would be able to offer a different perspective being an association professional coming and running the association.
Tell us a little bit about how you've dealt with the challenges that come along with leading an association, not only of that size, but the geographic scope.
Exactly. Leading a global association certainly presents its challenges, but it's been incredibly rewarding. The Association of Old Crows, we're an association dedicated to professionals who work in the electromagnetic spectrum to defend our nation and our allies. Our members are developing cutting-edge technology and products that protect our warfighters, and that's across sea, air space, and the cyber maneuver spaces as well. So the mission for the Old Crows, it really resonates with me, and I'm humbled to be such part of such a great organization. But one of the key strategies that we have done from a strategic standpoint is prioritizing effective communication, right? With members spread across different time zones and cultural backgrounds, clear and consistent communication is really essential. We have put kind of a blend of our advocacy and communications departments. They've collaborated to what we're calling an enterprise approach, which is really aligning our products and our activities and all of our deliverables, matching those to our mission, making sure that we are on target with our mission to ensure that everything that we're doing in the U.S. and abroad, that they're distributed through print, digital, multimedia deliverables, and that we're monetizing those to engage members and stakeholders at where they need to be reached.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit. So with that, obviously, you publish your journal. So listeners may not know, but it's known as JED, which is the Journal of Electronic Magnetic Dominance. And in addition, you do conferences, webinars, newsletters, podcasts, as you discuss. Tell us more about how this content enhances the knowledge for the membership and engagement of the membership.
I think everybody knows that everyone consumes their information in different ways. We all used to get it from magazines or newsletters, but now we are receiving it in different ways. And so we need just to continue to ensure we're delivering it how our members need to receive it.
Bravo, Shelley, because do you know how many people in your shoes I speak with and they think, oh, it's going to be all digital or all print or one or the other, but really, people are multifaceted and they consume information differently.
Right.
And I do believe with a diverse membership, you have to meet your members where they want to be met and not force them in. So
exactly. And, you know, delivering this content and however they want to receive it is difficult because we get very stuck in our ways of, oh, we have to do print media. Oh, we have to do social media. And so I think that, you know, it's helping us as we're expanding, it's helping us to remain relevant and effective across all the different regions, ensuring that everyone is supported and that they're learning in the way that means is meaningful for them.
And do you think that that helps to drive membership engagement overall? Is that part of the strategy you deploy?
Well, that is part of the strategy. Yeah. Is it converting to paid members? I don't know. But, you know, the ultimate goal is for us to be a community where everyone can network with each other, and being a paid converted to a paid membership is not one of the top priorities for our association. So it's not a top priority.
It's a good point to pick up on because, you know, what I find is I talk to a lot of association directors or CEOs who have the same mission that you do in terms of their engaging their members and creating a strong association. And what's interesting is the association leaders that put the membership first, the engagement in the paid membership comes as a result of that. But when you put the goal as paid membership first, it's amazing the reverse happens. And it just seems so odd, but it really does work because if you focus on the members and what they need, then you'll get the right results.
Exactly. Our focus is when we say members, they not necessarily may not be paid members, but they are part of the community.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about a new initiative. So you're about to launch your first AI newsletter. So tell me more about where that idea came about and maybe what you're expecting out of that, if anything, right now.
Number one, I believe strongly in surrounding yourself with strong partners. And Naylor happens to be one of those partners for the Old Crows. So we really lean on Naylor and your staff and your expertise for understanding trends and how things are changing in the world. For example, the shift from print to more of a digital version, to the different mediums and how people want to consume their information. That I lean on the Naylor team to help me with that. So when our advertisers were coming to Naylor saying, we need more ROI versus just what's happening in print, the Naylor team said, we need to be doing more virtual and let's do some other newsletters. And oh, here's a new thing, an AI newsletter. It targets itself to how the reader, what the reader is wanting to do. We have no idea if this is going to work. Our members tend to work a lot in the classified space, so we have no idea if this is going to work. But hey, let's take a risk. Let's just give it a try and let's just see what happens. We'll see what the results are in a couple of months.
Well, great. Well, thank you for being willing to try something new. We've had some success, as you know, with other associations. So we're pleased that our expertise can help you launch a successful AI newsletter too. We will look forward to seeing how that goes alongside with you as a partner. So thank you for that, Shelley. Now let's talk a little bit about your leadership style. You pride yourself on being hands-on, collaborative. Tell me a little bit more about how that works for you and your team.
I believe that being actively involved with my team is just crucial for fostering a collaborative environment. I have an open door policy. I encourage everyone to share their ideas and feedback. I think that this transparency helps to build trust, which is a foundation of our team's success. I make it a point to work alongside my team, whether it's during the planning phase or troubleshooting some issues. And this involvement not only keeps me grounded in the day-to-day operations, but also shows my team that we're in this together. I empower them to contribute to the decision-making, and we've been able to leverage our collective strengths to achieve outstanding results.
I love that because I do believe that leaders who are part of the team get much better results than those who lead from afar or from a corner, which I do believe one of the benefits of having a hybrid environment is it's sort of a level playing field. You don't feel like you're in a corner office somewhere, but rather everybody's got the same real estate on the screen. And I think that does help. It becomes more approachable.
Yeah, that's a good way to say that. Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit though about during the pandemic, you quickly focused on virtual educational workshops and webinars for members, and that met a need for members generating non-dues revenue. So tell us a little bit about what you learned from that. We're being in a constantly changing world, how you can stay agile and be prepared to take on the unexpected.
Well, I think if the pandemic has taught us anything, it's that we need to embrace change as constant factor and not seeing it as a threat. You know, we must be agile to be successful. Fortunate for our association during the pandemic, we didn't have to lay any full-time employees off, which was fantastic because we had a very strategic and creative staff on board. Everyone just kind of went to their corner and figured out how they could shift gears and create some events and programs and services for the members on the fly while I was dealing with money and, you know, how to keep everybody employed. They were able to shift. And so we were very fortunate that we had an extensive library of webinars and online courses already built so that our members who typically do work in the classified space, who were now having to work from home in an unclassified environment, had something that they could do. So they were digging in and taking our courses and getting up to speed on their education. So, you know, and then our industry partners were, of course, thankful for having the opportunity to continue to connect with their customers during the pandemic. I tell my team all the time, it's vital to stay informed about the association trends to ensure that we're equipped for these new challenges. I encourage everyone to learn everything that they can about their responsibilities so that they can be the best association professional that they can be.
Absolutely. I love that you encourage that because there are a lot of good programs and a lot of times employees you find don't feel like they can devote the time to learning, but it's so important. I say to my staff all the time, try to dedicate 5 to 10% of your time to improving your skills and your knowledge about what you're doing because it helps. Like that investment really pays off.
That's good that you put a percentage to it because, which I'd not done, but that is so important because just getting educated and knowing what's going on in out there with what your job is, it ensures that you've got a culture of flexibility and being able to take on the unexpected challenges as they arise.
Yeah. And that leads into my next question, which is really about encouraging your team to take risks. I know there's a lot of fear because if something doesn't go right or you fail, people are sometimes hold back trying something new. But tell us a little bit about how you've worked to eliminate the fear of trying new things and how that's helped the association stay competitive and grow.
Well, I think that we've all worked in environments where it was very difficult to make a mistake. When a mistake was made, it was, you know, the end of the world. Or it's really important to me to have a culture for innovation and growth and to not be afraid to take risks and to experiment with things. Just how we were able to pivot during the pandemic, my team was able to create things that we normally never would have done. You know, I think it was a time for everyone to experiment with that. We actually launched a podcast a few years ago with very limited support from our board members who were not podcast listeners, but my team felt strongly that this was a new medium that we needed to go into. So I encouraged them to experiment with it, do a year, and let's get some data behind us. And within the first year, our podcast actually broke into the top 25 of government podcasts around the world. So that was really exciting. And I think the reason it was so successful is just because it's a conversation type. You're learning as you're listening to a private conversation, as you're listening to someone on the phone.
That's amazing. And kudos to your team. That's a great story.
Thanks.
Yeah, they must be very proud of that work.
They are. And I think that we're now experimenting with a member-only podcast behind the member paywall, where members can dial in and be part of the conversation. So we're in the process of seeing how that pans out.
That's fantastic. Shelley, you've shared so much great advice. So one of the things I would love to ask you is, what advice would you give someone aspiring to take on a leadership role within the world of associations similar to what you did?
Well, that's a great question. And I think that it comes down to a couple of things: relationships and finding the mission that resonates with your values and knowing the importance of membership.
That's great. You've given a lot of fantastic insights and really solid takeaways, both from a leadership and a member focused leader should do in an association. So I really appreciate it. And I love some of the new initiatives. I mean, even though the podcast has been around, that you try that. I love that we're going to be partnering together on an AI newsletter. So we'll have you back to tell us more about how that went. I'm sure it's going to go really well. So the final thing we like to ask our guests is to offer a book recommendation. You know, we started to do this at the beginning and we've got such a great list, and I've bought most of the books that have been recommended. So I'd love to hear yours.
Well, if your listeners haven't read The 7 Measures of Success by ASAE and Jim Collins, I suggest that they pick up a copy because it's geared specifically for associations. Every example, every story, every suggestion comes back to the members. And so I highly recommend it. That's one of my go-tos.
Excellent. Well, that's a good book to put on the list. Shelley, thank you again for sharing your time, your insights, your leadership, all of that with our listeners. It was very valuable and I appreciate the conversation.
Yes, you too. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Thank you for listening to the Association Advisor Podcast, brought to you by Naylor Association Solutions. If you'd like to access more resources to serve your association needs or join our newsletter, you can visit our website at naylor.com or just click the links in the show notes of this episode. Please be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast listening app, like Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, so you won't miss an episode. Also, I'd love to hear from my listeners directly. Feel free to email me at christine.shaw@naylor.com. Until next time, we at Naylor are wishing your association success.